Are you a business owner or entrepreneur who's had great success in the business world, and now you want to launch a speaking career to share your message with the world? If that's you, then listen up. 25-year speaking industry veteran Brett Ridgway has released his latest special report, 3 Key Things Entrepreneurs Must Master to Build a Profitable Speaking Business. To pick up your copy, go to brettridgway.com/freebie. Welcome to the Spotlight on Speaking Show with Brett Ridgway, where you'll learn the keys to building a profitable speaking business from speaking industry pros. Each week, we interview a great guest who will share his or her speaking journey, identify what their keys to success have been, and highlight some critical mistakes they've made along the way that you'll want to avoid. Be sure to visit our website at spotlightonspeaking.com. And while you're there, subscribe to us via your favorite network. Now, sit back, tune in, and get ready to meet this week's guest.
Hello again, everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Spotlight on Speaking Show with Brett Ridgway. I'm your host, and I'm excited to have as my guest today, Laura Brezzi. You know, speaking fear is the number one fear, and yet there are seemingly no resolvable solution to the overwhelmingly sinking feeling of not being good enough at speaking. Laura's here to share a few tips to help you approach stressful speaking situations with greater confidence. So, Laura, welcome to the Spotlight on Speaking Show.
Thank you for having me, Brett. It's nice to be here.
So, you know, in my background, Laura, I was kind of behind the scenes guy for many years, behind the speakers and all that, either in the back of the room or as their fulfillment partner. And you're kind of a behind the scenes person too. So you don't do a lot of public speaking yourself, but you work with those people that want to be a keynote speaker or whatever. So first of all, give us a little bit of background of your journey, how you even got into working with that particular group of people in the first place.
All right. So yeah, this is interesting. So I didn't start speaking until I was 3, and I have sort of struggled with some of my own speaking issues. And what I learned going through these specific experiences is that I was constantly trying to figure out, you know, why I had speaking difficulties in front of some situations, some audiences, and then why I was fine speaking in some of these other situations, which led me to actually getting my degree in speech language pathology so I could understand the whole workings of the motor mechanism, how the speech mechanism breaks down under pressure, things like that. Fast forward, here I am, you know, later in my life, and I'm absolutely training other speakers to do the same thing. The main thing that my clients come in with, their main concern is I'm not good enough at speaking. I need to improve. And why am I comfortable in some situations, but not the others? So this is exactly the niche that I work in.
So Laura, when they say that they are not good enough at speaking, is it typically they feel like they talk too fast, talk too slow, don't enunciate well enough? I mean, aren't able to think on their feet? What's the root cause that causes them to want to come to you?
So those are what I call the surface level symptoms of why they're really feeling that they're not good enough. They're not able to sort of walk into a situation and understand why is their body reacting to the situation. Why are they having this reaction? Because something in the environment is triggering them. Maybe it's the audience, maybe it's the situation, maybe it's the topic. Maybe they've, you know, maybe they're not really suitable for speaking on the topic, you know? There's a lot of advanced level skills that are sort of behind the scenes that, again, contribute to people's communication breaking down under situations where they just don't feel like they're confident in that situation. For example, some people will even say, even high-level speakers, I'm talking executives who have trained, are like, I just don't feel right speaking in this situation. I don't really know what I'm walking into. I'm not feeling good about this situation. Why was I asked to speak in this situation, although I am at this level? So anytime you're questioning that, that's what's contributing to your inability to really get up there and have a consistent level of confidence. So
there are those that say if you're not nervous before any speaking engagement, then there's something wrong with you or whatever. I mean, how do you react to that comment?
Everything I will respond to always goes back down to some sort of study or science. I will have to say I'm very neuroscience, behavioral modification. oriented. I will say that my reaction to that is, yes, there are some published concepts out there, whether or not they're found in science or not, that are proposing that speaking fear has been around for so long that it is literally ingrained in our DNA at this point in time. So I currently am writing a book about this topic, and I keep going back to, are we fearing speaking because we're supposed to fear speaking? And does that perpetuate the speaking fear cycle that we can't get out of? It's kind of interesting because you can flip the speaking fear pretty quickly, believe it or not. Speaking fear is resolvable. And so are we, when somebody says, if you're not nervous, then you're doing something wrong, perhaps. Well, nervous energy is, I don't know. What do you think about that? I'm curious. It's a conversation here. I want to put you back on the spot.
I always still get a little bit of butterflies before any speaking engagement, but I think it's one of those things where the more you do it, certainly like anything in life, then the more comfortable you get with it. And eventually, by and large, the nervousness will go away, but it's a matter of practice and, repetitive and all that stuff, and really knowing your topic. So, if you know your topic inside out, there should be nothing that somebody can throw at you that you can't handle appropriately. Exactly. But it's a matter of you knowing your topic. I mean, don't become a speaker who, well, I think that's the hot topic of the day, so I should start speaking on that, but you don't really know the subject well, and you will get caught or whatever you want to say. You get yourself in an embarrassing situation. So that's what I think about that, Laura. So, all right, so somebody has this fear of speaking. What are some tips you might have to share on helping them get more confident with the whole speaking situation?
When you go into a situation, recognize that you are alerted for a reason. Okay? And there's two pathways here. You fear speaking, you walk into a situation, and I say, most people think this is horrible, this is awful, and they go into, again, just an internal reaction. But if you're reacting, you're reacting for a reason. And this kind of goes back to the last question about being nervous. You're reacting for a reason, which could be, for example, I don't know this topic well enough. I don't know this audience well enough. Maybe I was, I had a stressful event right before I came here. So it's more of a conditional situation. But if you're ignited when you go into a speaking situation, that's information for you to use in that moment. And honestly, I'm coming from the background of take that nervousness and turn it into a feeling, more of a fuel for your presentation, right? And whether it's a fuel to present or it's a fuel to say, hold on, I don't know this topic. I need to, call a resource or call a friend, so to speak, or, get more information about my topic. That nervousness is information for you to use productively, because when you are in a moment of speaking confidence, you're going to use that fuel to catapult your speaking abilities to that next level. But if you stay in that moment of, I'm nervous, I don't really know what to do with this, and you're completely frozen, really, that's not a good situation to stay in, because you're not using that information to your best ability. Does that make sense?
It makes sense. I'm not a neuroscience person whatsoever. So, you could easily get in some areas here that are way beyond my level of expertise. But okay. So when somebody comes to you to be coached, what's that process typically look like? I mean, is it an indefinite coaching program? Are you able to snap them out of it in a week, 3 weeks, a month? What's it look like?
They always come in for a reason. For example, somebody might come in and say, look, I know that, I just spoke at, my national conference, our company's national conference recently. I do this every year, and I'm so tired of showing up and being a poor speaker. So we have a goal. It's always outlined initially. What is the main goal that you want to achieve at the end of this coaching? And really the coaching program is really designed around that and the length. I mean, we can make a huge amount of progress, believe it or not, within, you know, a session that's 1.5 hours long. It is very targeted to your specific situation, which is why I love what I do, because people are already coming in on the whole. My clients are coming in with a specific need that they have, right? Some people do come in and say, look, I just want to improve my entire speaking confidence here. I just want to learn the information to, you know, learn that skill. So when it's more general, of course, you know, there's a way to go about that. You know, a more broader type program, which might be a minimum of 3 weeks. My programs are very specific. We always work on the internal. Everybody goes back to the internal. And if you're not neuroscience, if you really want to learn the art of really maintaining your composure, you are going to have to get into some neuroscience, you know, some sort of like mind body awareness, whatever you want to call it, some level of awareness to say, why am I nervous in this situation? And how can I use this information to my best ability to succeed in this situation? Okay, so we start off with that. That's the internal. Anytime we have that internal reaction, we're going to go to what is called, you know, it's going to show up on the physical body, right? So whenever you look nervous or when you're shaking and you're not speaking clearly, for example, that's going to perpetuate, you know, again, back to that situation where you are internally ignited. So, and then we go to the, it is a skill, you know, I'm a very skills-based coach. I always tell people, look, you know, I'm not a motivational speaking coach. I'm not here to give you that language part, right? Language comes later. I have basically a 6-week type coaching program, and we get into script writing and language development later. But all of these formidable foundations of maintaining your composure internally, maintaining your physical body language, and then being able to speak up and project your voice so that you are appearing confident, all of the polishing comes after that on the actual messaging. Okay. It's really hard to go to that, you know, second level of the messaging and, you know, really being able to interact with the audience in a performance style fashion, like a lot of motivational coaches do and keynote speakers, because they already have that composure. But everybody I work with, my niche is in that those first 3 weeks, which is maintaining your internal composure, your physical composure, and your ability to maintain your voicing and your vocal delivery so that you can get up on stage and, you know, really polish yourself at that point.
So a couple questions come to mind here. Number one is, let's say a speaker has been through your training, somebody's training, whatever, and they feel like they got it. They got that composure, whatever. Then they get up on stage to do a public speech and they lose it immediately or whatever. What's the quickest way to bring them back to control the situation to deliver their presentation?
Well, we go through that in coaching because that happens. This is not you conquer the fear and then the fear is never going to go away. You might be in a speaking situation where all of a sudden something in the environment changes and then all you go into fear. Again, that goes to that maintaining the internal composure. What just changed in the environment? And then apply the calming techniques that are associated with, you know, but again, it starts with awareness. And whenever you get the awareness, the calming techniques can happen in that moment. It is a complete balancing act when you are speaking, because you do kind of go in these ebbs and these flows, which is what happens. My speakers learn how to do this. You know, they learn to come to expect that somebody's going to walk in the room. Maybe it's a senior executive. Maybe you're on a Zoom call and all of a sudden you see that, you know, somebody else joined the call and all of a sudden you're like, you know, whatever, what happens? You stop breathing. You go back into those self-ruminating thoughts or I'm not good enough. Or, you know, I always get nervous when senior management is involved in these calls. And, you know, right then and there you think, okay, hold on. This is, again, something that I am aware of, but overriding it with maintaining your composure, which is going to reinforce that confidence cycle. Maintaining your physical composure is always going to maintain your vocal delivery. And there's also kind of a biofeedback loop. The more that you stay in speaking confidence, the more that you're going to access the ways to stay in that level. So it's like you're perpetuating speaking confidence or you're perpetuating fear. And they're both cycles.
So in your world, Laura, is there any difference in an in-person presentation versus a Zoom presentation?
I believe there are. I see and experience executives saying, I can't believe that people are putting these comments in the chat publicly. I think people are way more comfortable with just being themselves. And I kind of wonder, you know, if you were to show up in the conference room or the company presentation room or something, would you show up in the way that you're dressed, for example? Yeah, I think that people, nonverbal and verbal communication communicate a lot. And I think nonverbally, it's really interesting what, you know, people are kind of generating from their chats and how they're showing up online. So yeah, I absolutely believe that there's a difference in
All
Zoom.
Right. So would you advise your speaker to prepare any differently for one versus the other?
You know, I always prepare and suggest preparation to the maximum degree. You know, for example, you know, if you're on Zoom, prepare as if you were to walk into the presentation or the meeting with senior management. But again, right, you'll always have to understand my clients are generally going to be in that promotional stage where they need to do these things to show up, you know, well. But I think that even beginning, you know, younger speakers, as I'm getting into, you know, that realm as well, understanding that showing up as you would to the maximum degree of professionalism, both physically, verbally, you know, mentally, that's always going to suit you in a better way than just sort of maybe checking the boxes or maybe, you know, this, I don't know, it's kind of all about a matter of perception. I will use this example. This might help a little bit too. I've done, you know, speaking publicly quite a few times in companies. And when they say, well, there might be 25 people who have responded that are going to show up, my first question is, what size is the room and what's the room capacity? Because if it's a room capacity of 200, I'm going to prepare as if 200 people are going to be there regardless. And if 25 people show up, whatever. But if I'm going to prepare for 25 people, that would be looking more like a more, maybe a more casual engagement type situation. And I've had this happen before. And I use this example because it's happened to me. I had a, you know, standing room only situation at a company where people could just kind of come in between 12 and 1 and hear what I had to say. And people were standing up in the back of the room. If I were just to prepare this as more like a conversational type training with 25 people, it would have completely failed. So prepare to the maximum degree.
All right, great advice. So are you a proponent, PowerPoint or no PowerPoint?
I'm a proponent of images. I think that people are very visual, and I'm also a proponent of multi-sensory. So providing visual information, providing, you know, I mean, even recordings if you can, you know, sometimes. And we learn our distractions or our distractibility levels are pretty low these days. So anytime that you can keep people engaged, PowerPoint, yeah, not too much text, of course. I think there's a lot of input about, you know, how many words you should have on a slide, things like that. But mostly vocal delivery. There are going to be people who are going to be listening, and the ways that you can modify your vocal delivery to keep people engaged are pretty astounding. So.
What's your best recommendation, Laura, on how to build rapport quickly with an audience?
Quickly, I believe asking questions. What do you want from this situation? You know, what are you what are some of your concerns? Or it depends on your topic, of course. But if you're really wanting to build rapport, to me, that means engagement, that means conversation, and that means, what are we both here to do? What are you expecting of me? What can I give you? And as a speaker, you're always there to give somebody something. You know, you're giving the audience some type of information. So if you don't know, get them involved. And, you know, honestly, what I've heard and read and what I've experienced, the more that people are engaged and they feel a part of a conversation, then they go away from that experience feeling more positive than maybe if they were separated. And, you know, that's actually a technique that I train my clients to perceive. It's more of a matter of a perception. You know, you are up there leading the conversation. You know, one of the ways that drives speaking fear is this feeling of separatedness, right? And it ignites the fight or flight when you're up there on stage and they're down here, you know, they're over here and you're here. You know, this is where, you know, really you're leading the conversation. You're there to perpetuate some type of conversation or interaction that's already happening anyway. Otherwise, why would you be up there speaking in the first place?
Right.
You know? So the more that you can kind of merge yourself into that speaking experience with your audience members, I think it just creates a lot of cohesion.
All right. So Lori, you mentioned earlier that you're writing the book. What's the title of that book? What's it all about? And when will it be available for folks?
Oh, geez. You know what? I've been thinking about the title, and the only one that seems to be coming to my mind is something of the sort of overcome speaking fear, comma, actually you can overcome speaking fear. I don't know what it's going to be. But regardless, it's when is it going? So I am almost complete with my first manuscript. I can tell you it's been a while. I'm taking coaching that I do in person. I'm taking a lot of heavy concepts, as you can see in this discussion, a lot of neuroscience, a lot of behavioral transformation concepts, and putting them in writing. It's been a very cerebral experience for me to make this such that the lay person who's reading a book can read it and say, you know what, I can do this. So it's coming along, and I would like it to be published, you know, so that's a whole other level of, you know, approaching, finding a literary agent, you know, going that route. And if it doesn't, you know, if I need to publish it myself, self-publish, I will do that. So it's a process. I'd say definitely within the next year or two, you know, I think at maximum, but no, I'm working hard on this. I want to get it done soon and start reaching out to literary agents probably in the next 2 months. So.
All right. So how do people get involved in your world if they so choose, Laura?
Well, you can certainly start to go to my website, my YouTube channel, my website, of course. I've got two websites. My coaching website is speechcoachlaura.com. I've been in practice for over 18 years now. So my legacy website is memphisspeech.com. And then, you know, my social medias, of course, but you can reach me through Calendly.
Down in the show notes, so you don't have to rattle off a long YouTube URL or anything.
Sure, no, but yeah.
All right. Well, Laura, any final words of wisdom for somebody trying to overcome that fear of public speaking?
When you are first hit with the moment of impact, you do have an alternative cycle. There's a whole other cycle available to you. Don't have to stay in that moment of saying, I will never get over this. I will never be able to rectify this situation. That's the fear cycle. There's another pathway. It's called what I call it, the speaking confidence cycle. And this is what all, you know, skilled speakers end up falling into is, hold on, let me think a little bit about this situation. How am I going to get through it?
All right. Well, my sincere thanks to you, Laura, for being my guest on this episode of the Spotlight on Speaking show. I wish you the greatest success in all that you're doing, and to all the listeners out there, thank you so much for joining us today. As always, I wish you the greatest success in all that you do, and may this year be your greatest year yet. Take care, everybody. Bye-bye.
This has been the Spotlight on Speaking Show with Brett Ridgway. Be sure to join us every week as we interview speaking industry pros and have them share their best tips for building a profitable speaking business. Until next week, thank you for tuning in. And remember to visit our website at spotlightonspeaking.com so you can enjoy even more great episodes like this one. While you're here, be sure to subscribe via your favorite network. We look forward to seeing you next time on the Spotlight on Speaking Show. Until then, our sincere best wishes to you for the greatest of success as you work to build your own profitable speaking business.